The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How do we determine if popular theological teachings are considered false teachings? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently taking questions from listeners like yourselves. By the way, if you've got questions, maybe one of those questions that keeps you up late at night or a question that comes up as you're studying your own Bible, you can send them to us. You can reach us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Okay, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm going to try to watch your modulation there. My name is Bob Wilkin.
Bob Wilkin. Modulating your voices, you know, it's pretty important, I think.
I think you've got it
down. We've been watching this old show. You might remember it. Called The Rifleman.
Oh, I love The Rifleman with Chuck Connors.
We were looking for just a safe show to watch, and someone recommended we watch that. So I've been watching it with Zane, and I just love that beginning, the iconic beginning of the show. I don't know if you remember it, but
yeah.
He has his, I guess, some type of lever.
I think it's a Winchester.
It's a Winchester or something, and it's like, pop, 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 pop. He shoots it a million times, and then he just kind of looks at the camera, and then the voice says, The Rifleman.
Yeah.
It's a good show, you know. I like it. But anyways, what are we doing here?
We were modulating.
Sorry, we're answering questions, your Q&A on grace topics. And I have a question here from Rich, and Rich is from my hometown of Montreal.
Now, what does Montreal mean?
That means Mount Royal.
So how do you say that in French?
Montréal. Montreal is an island, and in the middle of the island is a mountain. In English, we call it Mount Royal, and in French, it's Montréal, and that's the whole island takes its name from that.
And you grew up there.
I grew up the first 27 years of my life.
Wow.
And Rich says, I didn't know Rich while I lived there, but Rich asks...
Yeah, you were poor, weren't you, growing up?
We weren't poor. We were barely middle class,
but we
weren't poor. Do you think Lordship Salvation or Reform theology would qualify for the false teaching Paul warns about in Acts 20:28-31 and 1 Timothy?
All right, let's look at the Acts 20. This is, I believe, where Paul is talking to the Ephesian elders and warning them about coming false teaching.
All right, so therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. I want to distinguish between Lordship Salvation and Reformed theology. Lordship Salvation is a works salvation gospel.
Right.
And Reformed theology isn't necessary. There are some Reformed guys who are basically free grace, like Gordon Clark or David Engelsma.
Right.
I believe it's by faith apart from works.
Right, exactly. So we shouldn't put a slash there and say they're the same. And also, I think, Sean, it's important to say that Lordship Salvation is not monolithic. There's a huge range in teaching among people who hold the Lordship Salvation.
Extremely strong, explicitly works-oriented salvation, Lordship Salvation. And then there's more, we call it soft Lordship Salvation. It almost sometimes, it's really just a matter of being inconsistent. You know, sometimes talking about faith apart from works, but then using other terms that sure make it seem like more is required.
Right. So you have this big spectrum, and I would say, concerning this passage that Rich is asking about, it's not specific enough. There's no specificity about these false teachers that are coming in. The same thing is true in 1 Timothy. What you find in the opening chapters of 1 Timothy is they're longing to be teachers of the word, and they think they understand the law. He says in chapter 1, verse 5, some having strayed have turned aside to idle talk, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor the things which they affirm. And they're teaching, according to verse 10, contrary to sound doctrine. But again, this is not very specific. And in chapter 4 and verse 16, he says, pay heed to yourself and to your doctrine or to your teaching that you may save yourself and your hearers, which is not salvation from hell, but is delivering yourself and your hearers from the false teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So again, there's not enough specificity there. So I would say, well, probably lordship salvation falls under the big umbrella that Acts 20 and 1 Timothy talks about. But I would say it's more specifically something like Galatians 1, 6 through 9.
Now, that is specifically about warning against false gospels and other gospels,
right?
And lordship salvation definitely falls under that anathema.
I would say it does. Now, in my opinion, because lordship salvation is a kind of a spectrum, it's not necessarily obvious that all of the people are teaching straight-up work salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You could theoretically have some people that were so soft in their lordship salvation that what they were saying was kind of like, you know, you wrote a journal article on Dallas Seminary between 65 and 90, and you showed that the old line Dallas position was kind of an inconsistent free grace position for a number of the people.
Yeah.
They would say things like, if you're truly born again, well, then we're going to see the fruit, and we're also going to see some level of perseverance and things like that. But yet they would say it's simply by faith apart from works.
Right.
Of course, you will find some people, even in the lordship camp, that will occasionally say it's by faith apart from works. Mm-hmm. Then they'll oftentimes turn right around and say, but if you don't have the works, you're not born again.
Or if you don't have works, you don't really believe.
I would say Galatians 1, 6 through 9 would put the lordship people under that, but I can see how some people would say, well, many would say lordship salvation people are not straight up work salvation because they formally deny it. If you ask them, they will formally say justification by faith alone.
Yeah.
So I would say, in my opinion, they fall under it, but I don't think they're as extreme. See, there's a spectrum here, too. You could move from someone like MacArthur or who are some of the other people that are real strong?
Francis Chan.
And they're pretty extreme on the lordship salvation position.
Yeah.
But if you go to Roman Catholicism, it seems to me it's even more extreme. Or if you went to Church of Christ. And by the way, it doesn't mean they're not very wonderful people and very well-intentioned people. There's wonderful Church of Christ people, wonderful Roman Catholics.
We're not talking about people. We're talking about ideas.
Right. And we're not saying that there aren't people who are born again in those groups. But what we're saying is if they are born again, it's because at some point they believed the free gift, faith alone message, and they've either departed from it or now they're living inconsistently by going to a church they shouldn't be going
to. So maybe why would we say that the Church of Christ, for example, is even more explicit than lordship salvation?
Well, because they come right out and say justification is not by faith alone.
Right.
It is by faith plus baptism, obedience, confession, and repentance.
Yeah.
They got a 5-point plan. And faith is one of the five, but you also have to be baptized, and you have to be baptized for the remission of sins.
Yeah.
And you also have to confess your sins, and that goes on throughout your life. You got to turn from your sins. That has to go on throughout your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to obey, and that goes on. So Church of Christ believes you can lose everlasting life and get it back, lose it, get it.
Yeah.
So in answer to Rich's question, I'd say yes. I believe lordship salvation falls under the umbrella of false teaching. I mean, it's clearly false. And I believe it's probably as extreme as what it's talking about in Galatians 1, 6 through 9.
Right. But then when you talk about reform theology, to me, that raises a lot of interesting questions because reform theology is kind of like dispensationalism. It's not just about one thing. It's about all kinds of different things. Like reform theology, for example, would include infant baptism, and it would include how individual churches should relate to each other through what they would call a presbytery.
Okay, now let's go with the first point.
Yeah.
Infant baptism. Do Reformed people believe in infant baptism?
Oh, yeah.
So if you're Reformed, you baptize your children when they're 3 months old, 6 months old, something like that.
Baptism replaces, in their mind, circumcision. And so children become part of the covenant, just the way Christians should be in a covenant, just the way Israel was in a covenant. And so baptism is
okay, now this raises a point because you've pointed out to me something I didn't realize before. I used to use the words Calvinist and Reformed as synonymous, and they're not.
They're not. No, Calvinism is one way to think about the difference between the two is Calvinism is strictly about what they call the doctrines of grace. God predestines the elect. Jesus only dies for the elect, and the elect will persevere, et cetera, et cetera. It's just about salvation.
But many Calvinists do not practice infant baptism. Calvinism.
No, like John Piper is Calvinist, but he's not. He's a Baptist, so he's not. He's a Calvinistic Baptist, but he's not really Reformed. John MacArthur is Calvinist, but he's a dispensationalist. He's not a leaky dispensationalist, but he's not Reformed.
Right.
He's different. So he believes in Calvinistic salvation, but he doesn't believe all the other things of Reformed theology.
Right. So Reformed theology is a pretty big tent, and there are some people, like you mentioned, Engelsma or...
Gordon Clark. You know? Probably John Robbins, I think he was.
Yeah, oh, John Robbins, you know, for sure, yeah, with the Trinity Foundation.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that? Let's say someone believes in covenant theology as opposed to dispensational theology. Is that what Paul's warning against in Acts chapter 20, getting those issues wrong?
Well, I don't think he is. However, it's very general what he's warning about in Acts 20, and
right.
He's writing about specific people that are going to oppress the church in Ephesus. And so I think it could be applied to lots of things, but I tend to think Paul's thinking there of essential truth related to soteriology, the doctrine of salvation.
Yeah.
Yes, there are many forms of false teaching, right? I mean, there are forms of false teaching where people can be absolutely straight up clear on justification is by faith alone apart from works, but they can be antinomian. They can say,
sure,
it doesn't really matter how you live. You can live any old way and God's never upset with you and he never disciplines you and there's going to be no differences at the judgment seat of Christ. That's false teaching too.
Right.
But you could be clear on the free gift part. So I think what we need to recognize is churches need to be aware, and elders in churches need to be aware of all false teaching, especially, though, false teaching on core issues called fundamental issues.
Like some things are more important than other things.
The deity of Christ, substitutionary atonement, the bodily resurrection of Christ, justification by faith alone, the soon return of Christ, inerrancy of Scripture. These are all essential truths.
Well, thank you very much, Bob, for that. And thanks, Rich, for the question. Say hi to all the believers in Montreal for me. Rich, merci beaucoup pour la question. And if you have any questions for us, send them to radio@faithalone.org.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. We've got 2 unique topics for tomorrow's program, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep Grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.